And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. The protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Well, you know, this has been a very powerful book. We published it several years back. And, well, I guess there's been what you would call hail ever since. We periodically go to Amazon.com where our book is offered. We find that they mess with it. You know, they'll take the title and change it, or they'll do this or that, or suddenly it will be missing, or the description will be wrong, or whatever. I also noticed that they have two disclaimers on the book. They have the Jewish ADL. You know, you go to buy the book, and right away you see this, notice by the ADL. Watch out for this book. You know, it's a forgery. It's going to mess up your mind, basically, they say. And then you go a little further down, there's another thing from the ADL. And it's just amazing how they seek to downplay this book. They say that it's a forgery. They say that it's something you shouldn't read. And, you know, until we had our edition out, they were having their way. Oh, you could get an old ugly-looking copy of the book with a strange cover. You didn't know whether it was the original book or had been adulterated. And you could buy it, perhaps at some little book stand or whatever. It was because people were counterfeiting the book, trying to get the message out. But you see, there's no standard publisher that will publish the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Now, I was interested in the learned elders of Zion from the very beginning because I wanted to know what it said. And I also have this belief, my friends. If a book is prohibited, it must be read. Because it must have something interesting in it. Well, I know what this book has. It's a book that has the protocols, in other words, step by step, the way the Jews will take over the world. It's the Learned Elders of Zion Bible for World Conquest. Now, for many years now, my life's occupation has been to study the abomination that took place in Soviet Russia, followed by the lethal chaos and pain in Eastern Europe and Red China. In other words, the growth of communism. The immensity of these brutal crimes cannot be overestimated. Any offenses committed by Hitler, and I don't paint over such offenses, seem very puny and minor compared to what took place in the Soviet Empire from 1917 to 1984. Now, how did these communist spiritual predators and ancestors of Barack Obama, Lord Rothschild, Timothy Geithner, Henry Paulson, Ben Bernanke, and today's Wall Street bankers do it? How were they able to grip scores of nations by the throat and yank out the jugular vein of tens of millions of innocent people? I'm convinced it was because Lenin, Stalin, and the others were well grounded in the textbook for how to do it. And that textbook is the Protocols of Zion. Now, a lot of people have asked me ever since we published this book, Tex, this must be deadly. This is the book they hate the most. The publishers that first published this were threatened. Either get this book off the racks or you'll be destroyed. And they did. And that is why since particularly about 1905 when the book first came out, it's been banned. From country to country, it's been banned. Now, today, America is one of the few places that has any depth of freedom in this world. And I believe that you should have access to this book. Now, keep in mind, there are no curse words in the book. There's no sex as such in the book. So you would think that it's just a book of politics, economics, religion, and conquest. You would think there would be no problem. And if the Jews do not want this book to be out there, why, they would just publish the book along with a book that told you it was a lie or a forgery. And they then would, you know, credit themselves for that. In other words, they would say, see, we've given you the protocols of Zion, and now we've given you our book. It could be two books in one. They could make a lot of money publishing this book. They say it's one of the most well-read books in the world. Well, it's not. You can't get it in any Barnes & Noble store. You can't buy it anywhere, in fact, in America. One of the few places, I believe we are the top seller in the whole world of the Protocols of Zion. And we're just a little rinky-dink seller. We're just a small publisher. And yet we're the greatest seller in the world of the Protocols of Zion. I'm so proud of the book that I wrote a foreword for it. Ask about the authenticity of the Protocols. Henry Ford, the famous industrialist and founder of the Ford Motor Company, replied, "The only statement I care to make about the Protocols is that they fit in with what is going on. They are 16 years old, and they have fitted the world's situation up to this time. They fit it now." In other words, if the Protocols came out in 1905, then if we can look from 1905 to 2013, let's say, how do they look? How have they stood the test of time? They said this is the plan of the learned elders of Zion. This is the blueprint for world domination. Now, if there is no blueprint for world domination, then the years from 1905 to today would show us a lie. But in fact, as Henry Ford once said, they fit it now. What's going on now? Just 16 years, he said. We've had a lot more than 16 years now, folks. So I challenge any reasonable Jewish person to read the Protocols from themselves. I was recently reading an article about it written by a Jewish man. He said, you know, I've never met anybody that's read the Protocols. And he said, I've asked Jew after Jew, what do you think of the Protocols? And they all say, oh, it's a forgery. Oh, it's defamation. Oh, it's a horrible book. And I said, did you read it? They said, well, no, I wouldn't read that piece of garbage. They're talking about a book they have never read. You see, the Jews at the top want to keep it away from the Jews at the bottom. The Jews at the bottom of the structure would like to know the truth, but they're not told the truth. And they're flattered and cajoled and told that they are the world's greatest, that they're really a people of renown, that they are gods on earth. And that kind of flattery, my friend, well, everybody likes to think they're the greatest. Everybody likes to think that they're only their race is the best. That is, unless you're a Christian. Then you realize that God, out of one blood, created all the people on the face of the earth. Now, I know there are different races. Goodness gracious, you can just count them. Albanian, Bulgarian, French, German, English. There's all kinds of racism that's been there, Chinese and Africans. But there's only one blood. That's what it says in the book of Acts. Out of one blood, God created all the people on the face of the earth. That's what it says in the book of Acts. A lot of Christians don't understand that. And they still attempt to build sort of a structure somewhat like the protocols. You know, the Anglo-Saxon race is the greatest, or this, the white Nordic race is the greatest, or this or that race is the greatest. Well, look, I don't mind a little bit of racial pride, but this is just silly. I mean, it really is. And I know that race is also, each race has a certain characteristic, power, weakness. They do. I mean, you know, several years back, two professors did a study of crime in America. They discovered that if you took away, you took out all the crime statistics from the black community, that there really wouldn't be much crime in America. Just the white races don't commit that many crimes. And we would be actually less crime than the nations of Europe. But what we do is combine all that together, do we not? We combine all of that together. All the black people, the crimes in the ghettos, and then the white people. And then what, of course, what happens is that the Jewish controlled media keep pushing it to us all the time. You know, when whites commit crimes, boy, you know, they get a lot of headlines. I don't have any problem with that. When blacks commit crimes, it makes page 48. It doesn't get reported. It's really something for a white guy to go out and kill five people. For a black guy to go out and kill five people, well, it's just another happening. A drug dealer, probably. That's the way people feel about it. And their crimes don't get reported. Well, the Protocols of Zion is the most banned book in the world. The tyrants and the killers don't want you to read this incredible volume. They're the book burners. They talk about Hitler and the Nazis being book burners, but they're the book burners. The censors, the would-be, well, they're the despoilers of humanity. And they'd like to herd all of us, into a cattle pen of slavery and humiliation. And the Protocols is their blueprint. It is their roadmap. It's been outlawed in nation after nation. Folks, in some nations of this world, if they catch you with a copy of the Protocols, not America now, you can be arrested. Sergius Nelas, the man who gave us the Protocols, was a Russian monk. And he was a prophet. Now, I've written about him, and if you've read what I wrote about him, I was amazed. I did not know this. You see, back around 1905, he wrote the book, The Great Within the Small. And in the appendix was the Protocols of Zion. It wasn't even an independent book. Now, where had he got it? A Jewish woman, excuse me, a Russian woman, had visited Paris, France. And while she was there, she met a man who was a Freemason of a Masonic lodge. And he told her he wanted to give her one of his most precious possessions. And she took the book and she was amazed. It was the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. When she returned to Russia, she attempted to give it to a number of church people, but they didn't want the book. They were scared of it. She took it to Sergius Nelas. Now, Sergius Nelas was a different man than most people. He was not a rich man by any means. He had come from a very, very, before the revolution, Remember, this was during the time of the Tsars. His family had a lot of money and he was quite well off. But when he became a Russian monk in the Russian Orthodox Church, he gave his life to God. And when he was a young man, he had partied and carouse and all those things, and he found nothing that would make him exciting. And finally, like the prodigal son, he turned to God. When he reported to his seminary, Sergius Nilus flung himself on the carpet in the office. I guess I don't know what you would call him, the director general, and said, "Please tell me what to do. I want to serve God." And from that, he became a monk. And his life turned around and he became a prophet. And God gave him things to see and to know. Now, Sergius Nilus saw what was going on in Russia. And he saw that everything was headed. And he wrote a book, The Great Within the Small. And in his book, he wrote prophecies. And he said that Russia would go through a great, great cataclysm. And he said this could be the beginning of the end of the world. This could be the foretelling of the book of Revelation in the Bible. And he said, Russia is about to go through great, great, tragedy. There will be many, many lives lost. He knew, you see, of the coming of communism. He felt it. He knew it. And he warned people that it was coming and that many Christians would lose their lives. Well, as far as the protocols are concerned, he said, this is the Jewish blueprint. This is what they intend to do first to Russia. And then on and on. He talked in the book. It was a book about, well, if you've read the protocols of the great, of the learned elders of Zion, you will be impressed about it. I promise you. Because it's not a hard book. It's not a difficult book. And yet as you read it, you can see it's some kind of a masterful scheming person wrote it. I don't want to say that it gives you the heebie-jeebies, but it's like, you know, that there's some kind of horror in this book. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what Alexander Solzhenitsyn said about the Protocols of Zion. He got a copy of the book. This man was called the conscience of the 20th century, Solzhenitsyn. His book, Gulag Archipelago, had sold, tens of millions of copies throughout Europe, throughout the world, in the late 20th century. And he wanted to know, was the Protocols a legitimate book or was it a forgery? Was it true? Was it authentic? Or was it just a fake, a forgery? Well, he said, quote, the Protocols show a blueprint of a social system. And its design, said Solzhenitsyn, is well above the abilities of an ordinary mind, including that of its publisher, I might add. He says it shows great strength of thought and insight. It is a stolen and distorted plan designed by a man, by a mind of genius. And its anti-Semitic style obscures this great strength of thought and insight. Now he knew, he was aware of the faults of the Protocols. He said its powerful line of thought is broken and fragmented. It's mixed up with ill-smelling incantations and psychological blunders. He said, but nevertheless, it makes a powerful textual experiment. Now, he removed words like Jews, goyim, which is the Hebrew for, the animals. We're, Gentiles are, well, we're basically animals according to the Jews. He removed words like conspiracy. He did not want, Solzhenitsyn did not want to be tainted with these words. He wanted to just see what the protocols of the learned elders of Zion said without such words as Jews, goyim, conspiracy. And he still was able to find many disturbing ideas. Well, he said, while a strong free thinker could possibly predict the development of the West in 1901, well, 1901 was when this book was published, or, you know, was first came to the fore. While a strong thinker could possibly have predicted the development of the West in 1901, how could he grasp the Soviet future? The text demonstrates impressive foresight on the two systems of society, the Western and the Soviet. He said it's a master plan that begins with the reshaping of the human mind. Well, let's go on a little bit with his thought system, what Solzhenitsyn said about this. He said that it creates, the book creates a lust in people's minds because it talks about money so much. And he said the book points to mammon, which will be erected into a veritable cult. Well, it will indeed be erected into a terrible cult. He concluded that no sane person would deliver his favorite ideas in such self-demeaning and self-defeating ways. Quote, we extract gold from their blood and tears. Quote, our power is based on workers' hunger. Quote, revolutionaries are our human tools. The book talks about the brutish minds of the goyim. These are, in Solzhenitsyn's opinions, words ascribed to the Jews by their enemies. A Jew would rather have probably put his ideas in a more oblique way. So he says maybe it was the enemies of the Jews, because no sane person would do it. Now, as far as the existence of the elders of Zion, Solzhenitsyn did not believe in that, but he said the togetherness and coordination of Jewish activity for the sake of their advancement caused many writers, beginning from Cicero, now that's all the way back during Roman times, to imagine that the Jews have a single commanding center to direct their attacks. Without such a world center, without conspiring, the Jews understand each other and are able to coordinate their actions. So he didn't really believe in the existence of the elders of Zion. Now, I do personally. But Solzhenitsyn didn't, but he said, nevertheless, the togetherness and coordination of Jewish activity leads us to believe there is a single commanding center to direct their attacks. But he says, is there such a world center? Is there a head of conspiracy? Maybe not. Nevertheless, said Solzhenitsyn, the Jews understand each other and are able to coordinate their actions. Now, who do the Jews say wrote this book? Well, they've got their, you know, you can go online and read about it on Wikipedia and other sources. And there are all kinds of things they say. Now, my own research has shown that the Protocols of Zion came out of a Jewish Masonic Lodge in Europe. It is the Rite of Mizraim. The Rite of Mizraim. You can find out about the Rite of Mizraim by going to Wikipedia. But let's not talk about the Rite, this Jewish lodge, the Mizraim, or Mizraim, in Paris in 1884. It was called the Protocols of the Wise Men of Zion. And it was published by a Jewish man named Joseph Schorst. Now, here's the question, though. And then it went into another hand, and then finally to this woman who brought the book on to Russia. So we know that the book first came out of Paris, France. We know that the Jews are very big in the lodges of France. And today the Grand Lodge is an atheist lodge, which basically means they're opposed to Christianity, in Paris, France. We know that Gorbachev, for example, the Soviet former president, is a member of the Grand Lodge. All of these things we know. We know of the satanic nature of the Grand Lodge in Paris, France. We know that it was out of the Grand Lodge of France that the revolution went on into Germany, the Soviet Revolution of 1917, and then into Russia, into Moscow. We know, too, that they were responsible for the Armenian massacres that occurred. So all of these things we know. Why wouldn't they publish a book? Why wouldn't they have a blueprint for domination? If that was their goal, would they not have a blueprint for it? Would they not have a book? Would they not have certain principles written down? Of course they would. Of course they would. In any case, these protocols are definitely not a forgery, not a hoax. But in recent years, the Jews have come up with the theory, and it is just a theory, that much of the material inside the Protocols of Zion are plagiarized from a much earlier book by Maurice Joly, J-O-L-Y, Maurice Joly, entitled The Dialogue in Hell Between Machiavelli and Montesquieu. Well, now that's interesting, isn't it? They found this old book, and they say much of the dialogue in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion can be found in this earlier book by Maurice Joly entitled The Dialogue in Hell Between Machiavelli and Montesquieu. Well, I've compared the two myself, and I do find some parallels, but I must say I'm amused over the controversy. Why wouldn't there be parallels? Why wouldn't the people of the Lodge, the Jews who are of the Lodge of France, back in the 1880s, why wouldn't they read Maurice Joly's book? He was a member of the Mizraim cult, or rite, the Masonic Lodge there, as were others. And many of them would find it very interesting and very useful, and they would say, well, this wording can be used for the protocols. That's the way books are done today, friends. And it doesn't make the Protocols of Zion any less bit authentic. They are authentic. And that's why the Jews are frightened to death of these books. They're frightened that you will get to know the truth. Well, I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power Prophecy. We'll be back in just a minute with more about the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Stay with us, won't you? Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. I want to tell you a little bit about the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It's got a beautiful new cover. I wrote the foreword. I'm very glad to do so. And it's the original authentic book published in The Great Within the Small by the Eastern Russian Orthodox priest and monk Sergius Nilus. Now, why is this such a problem? Well, you have to understand that the Jews have always been afraid of this book ever since it came out of the Mizraim Rite Lodge in Paris, France. They don't want people to know that they have a world plan, just an amazing protocols, a book that outlines step by step the way they want to take over the world. This book even talks about the great serpent, the great conquering serpent. And it talks about the serpent slithering and taking nation after nation after nation. And that's exactly what the Jewish Kabbalah talks about. Now, friends, I don't know of anybody that would know anything about the Jewish Kabbalah. I started studying it myself some years ago, and I didn't know one pastor or one Christian that knew one flittering thing about it. I couldn't get anybody. I'd like to talk to you about the Kabbalah. Well, I don't know. I've never studied that before. They don't know anything about the Jewish Talmud, which is the Halakha, the book of law of the Jews, nor do they know anything at all about the Kabbalah. So if this book has all the information in it about the Talmud, yes, it has the Talmud in it, and the Kabbalah, and the slithering serpent from the Kabbalah, goodness gracious, folks, this is definitely an authentic book. This symbolic serpent slowly traverses across the planet, devouring and constricting all the nations. Its journey ends in Jerusalem when the Jews, celebrating their great victory with a Eucharist banquet at which the meat of the serpent will be served. This is the holy serpent of the Kabbalah's tree of life, the Sephirah. It represents the Messiah of Israel. Now, I know that's incredible to you. It was to me when I first discovered it. But in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I quote rabbi after rabbi after rabbi who believes in it, who are teachers of the Kabbalah. And it's in this book, The Learned Elders of Zion, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Now, we want you to have a copy of this book. And it's perfectly okay for you to order it. I suppose if the Jews ever do take over America in our lifetime, you'll have to take it out and burn it, or else you'll be taken away. That's what happened to Sergius Nilus. In 1917, the Jews took over in Moscow and in most of the Soviet Union. Guess what? The first law that was ever passed by the new communist government was. The first law that was ever passed. It was the Anti-Semite Act. They were so concerned about the Jews that when Lenin, who was himself a Jew, and Trotsky, who was also a Jew, and Stalin and the others took over, the first thing they did was to come out with a law that made anti-Semitism a crime punishable by death. But even before the Russian communists took over, the book, The Protocols of Zion, had been banned by Kerensky. Now, who was Kerensky? Kerensky was the one who took over about 9 months earlier from the Tsar. And then communism overthrew, you might say, Kerensky. Or he just gave up the ghost. He gave up the government to Lenin and Trotsky. But before he gave up the government, he made it against the law to even own a copy of the Protocols of Zion. Do you see the way that dictatorial governments do? Kerensky banned it. He outlawed it. And Nilus was put on trial. And he was found guilty for having a copy of the Learned Elders of Zion. Every copy they could get a hold of was burned in Russia. The people had no idea what was going to happen to them. If they had copies of the learned elders of Zion, they would have done something about it. They would have known what was going to happen. And they didn't. They were in the dark. That their light had been shut out. And Nelas was sent off to prison. And the books were burned. And the first anti-Semitic act was passed. And then the communists began to roll. And eventually 66 million people perished in the countries of the Soviet Union. Now, friends, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to be a victim of a new communist reign of terror in America. Let us keep this book out there. Let us keep this book going. If you've already got a copy, order three or four more. Help us in the ministry to publish this book, to get it out there. Don't let the Jewish anti-Semites, that's what they really are, they're the anti-Semites, not us, because they hate the truth. And we love the Jews, and that's why we want people to know about it. We want you to have this book. And for $18, is it 20? Jerry's telling me it's 20. Are you sure? Okay, it's $20. Okay. I was just trying to get you a bargain, friends. It's $20 then. $20 plus $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. $25. Ask for the protocols. Simple as that. Protocols. Say, text, send me the protocols. For $25, we'll be glad to send it to you. Yes, order one copy. But if you can, order two or three or four or five or ten and give them to your friends. And they'll say, well, it's impossible. This book could not be. But it is. And we're keeping it going around the world. And we're going to continue to do so. Now, I know the Jews are mad at Tex Mars for publishing this. It's the truth. It's what they have planned for so many years. In 1898, the World Zionist Congress met in Basel, Switzerland. And there was Theodor Herzl. And that's where this book, you know, really came to the fore. And they began to pass out these ideas. In Russia at the time, it was found out. And a lowly priest was the one that published it, a lowly monk. He didn't have any money. He lived in a small house at the rectory. And in 1917, when the Tsar of Russia was overthrown, the Tsar, who had believed in this, Nihilus was taken away. Well, Kerensky's first order of business, of course, was to track the poor man down and make him pay for his transgressions in exposing the wicked secret plan of the Jews. Nihilus had written a book of prophecy warning what will happen to Russia because of the Jews. And it did happen. 66 million people. Folks, that makes Hitler's, you know, supposed 6 million. That's not even true. Read the Holo Hoax by Victor Thorne. Well, this book is $25. That includes shipping and handling. Please order it from Power of Prophecy. Here's how to get your copy. Or more than one copy, if possible. Just write us at Power of Prophecy or text Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and get the book. Or you can phone us at any time. Well, naturally, we close at 5:30 each day. But you can phone us during the work week and tell us you'd like to have the book protocols. Now, we're not going to send it to you in an envelope saying, here's your copy of the protocols. It'll just be in a nice brown paper sack, you know, or whatever. You know, I say sack, I mean a package, just like all of our works are, without any notation on it. Order your copy today. Now, our address, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 1-800-283-7833. Our phone number is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our program, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Are they authentic and real, or are they a forgery? You need to know. We're not going to offer a book that's not real. We're not going to offer a book that has junk in it. So let's just look at this a little bit more. This blueprint for global occupation. Now, the world is full of forgeries, of hoaxes. There's no doubt about that. How about the late great Planet Earth? By Hal Lindsey. The late great Planet Earth. It sold 25 million copies during the 20th century. Did you know that it was written by a woman named Carla Carlson? Do you really think that George W. Bush wrote his own autobiography? Chuck Colson, the famous former Nixon White House advisor, once advertised for a ghostwriter to write his magazine and newspaper columns. This was after he became a Christian. He advertised in First Things magazine for a ghostwriter to write his columns. The Washington Post and New York Times have been criticized. They've got famous, prestigious Pulitzer Prize people. And they found out later that they wrote stuff that was plagiarized. That was a fake. I mean, Ollie North and Billy Graham, Pat Robertson and others, they don't write their own books. Pat Robertson didn't write, well, there's several books that he didn't write. I have a letter from Pat Robertson's people, and they admit that he didn't write various books. Jerry Falwell's autobiography, Strength for the Journey, was written by a guy who was a gay guy, male white. Can you imagine? He wrote books for Billy Graham, Jerry Falwell, Ollie North, and others. And he was a homosexual. Ghostwriters. Well, it's amazing. How about Obama's Dreams of My Father? That was written by, apparently, William Ayers, the Marxist bomber. He wrote that book. Or at least those who are tracking Obama say that he did. Albert Einstein, he's known as the most brilliant man in the world. Turns out he plagiarized his famous theory of relativity. Then there's Martin Luther King. He plagiarized, he stole his doctoral dissertation. He didn't even write it. So it's ludicrous for the Jews to say, well, wait just a minute. The protocols of the learned elders of Zion must not have been written by the ones that they say wrote it. It must be a forgery. Well, a forgery is a forgery of what? Well, it was this book by Jolie. It was him that did it. The dialogue in hell between, Montesquieu and Machiavelli. Well, the fact is, friends, I can, listen to me very carefully on this. Don't you see how this happens? These Jews are plagiarizers. These Jews are the ghostwriters. These Jews are the ones who do these things. I can just see, think about it. Now, Frenchman Maurice Joly himself, as it turns out, was a socialist. He admitted in his own writings that, not only had he been at one time a devout communist, but that he was to the end a revolutionary Jacobin. Now think about this. I can just imagine, I can picture the demented but cunning Jewish authors of the protocols just sitting at night, poring over the pages of the Dialogue in Hell volume. Say, ooh, this is good. We should do this. Ooh, this is a good thing. Yes. While they were reading this Dialogue in Hell volume, sitting at their desk late at night, stealing its verbiage and incorporating it into the text of their diabolically infested protocols of the learned elders of Zion. So what? So what? We have the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. How did we get it? I don't doubt at all that it was plagiarized. Why shouldn't they have plagiarized it? The Jews have been the ghostwriters and the fakers for years in all of these books. And they keep giving us book after book after book on the bestsellers list that's written by other people. I can see the protocols does not even have an author on the book. There is no author on the book. So what? So in 1897, at the World Zionist Congress, they got this book, and it was popular there, no doubt. They didn't realize that in a few years, all the Gentiles would be able to read it. They didn't know about this Russian monk, Sergius Nilus, who was given the book, who had got the book from a French woman who had been to Paris, France, who got it from a Frenchman from the Masonic Lodge there. This is the way God works, folks. He exposes the works of evil men. Theft of words and ideas is commonplace in the world of books and publishing. The fine art, let's just call it the plagiarizing, keeps entire law firms in New York City, heart and capital of Jewish publishing in this world today, busy filing lawsuits, seeking damages. I've already told you about Hal Lindsey, Martin Luther King, William Ayers, Mel White, who wrote all these books. He wrote all these books for all these Christian writers. Can you imagine Jerry Falwell's autobiography? Strength for the Journey? He didn't write any of it? He can't write. These people cannot write. And besides that, they don't have the time to do it. I'm quite sure that Zionist plotters have borrowed from many past revolutionary books in perfecting their master plan. They see ideas, they see thoughts, and they sweep them, they incorporate them into their plan. I suspect the plan for the year 2013 is different than the plan they had in 1901 and in 1905. I suspect that they've got the protocols of the learned elders of Zion and improved on it. As masterful as it is, and it is, Solzhenitsyn was right when he said this book is, it comes from a demented, yes, a demented mind, but a masterful mind, a brilliant mind. What else is new? Jews have throughout history stolen ideas, inventions, and writings. I mean, when I used to be a writer of high-tech books, I'd have to write two books for every one that New York took, published. Because New York publishing is a Jewish hellhole. It is. Now, I have written books for Simon & Schuster, Prentice Hall, McGraw-Hill, the largest publishers in the world. You'll see Tex Mar's name on it. Go to the library and look them up. And many book ideas I've sent, you know, they tell me they can't publish it for this or that reason. 8, 9, 10 months later, there's the book out. It's my book. I gave them the idea for it. I had to come up with so many ideas they couldn't steal them all. Now, of course, I published my own books. But once the Zionists had compiled and had the finished document, the protocols, in their sweaty little hands, the conspirators began in earnest their great work of global revolution, human and cultural degradation, and the sordid undermining of decency of Western civilization. The conquest of the world and the fabled Jewish utopia. There's even another book out by a rabbi named Heidegger. I have a copy of it. It's very rare to get. It was found at the Perry Castaneda Library at the University of Texas at Austin. The Jewish Utopia by Rabbi Heidegger. And it tells you everything that you'll want to know. Everything that you'll find in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, you will find in the Jewish Utopia. And the Jewish Utopia was commissioned. Not everything, of course, there are differences. But it was commissioned many, many years ago by the Rabbinical Council of the State of Texas. And it talks about the great world to be built by the Jews. And what will happen to you and me? And friends, you will not like it when you find out what is going to happen. Because here's some of the protocols. Think of this. The protocol number 10. Away with them and give us one king over all the earth who will unite us and annihilate the causes of discords, frontiers, nationalities, religions. Did you get what they say? Give us one king over all the earth who will unite us and annihilate. That means destroy, get rid of the causes of discords. What are those causes of discords? Frontiers, nationalities, religions. They'd love to get rid of the border between the United States and Mexico. What do you think Fast and Furious was all about? That's what it is. Dissolving the border between Canada and the U.S. and the U.S. and Mexico. Protocol 15, when the king of Israel sets upon his sacred head the crown, he will become patriarch of the world. Protocol 23, the Supreme Lord, our King, will be obliged to kill, to drench them with their own blood. Why, no one would do such a thing. Could they? That must be a forgery. Remember, friends, this was published first in 1905. What happened beginning in 1917? Lenin was basically the king of Soviet Russia, and it became drenched with blood. So, I'm here to tell you something, folks. I'm here to warn you that this book, many people have died over this book. Now, I know they're going to say, well, Hitler read this book. Hitler acted because of this book. That's not true. They don't know it. You know, the Jews have been searching and searching and searching for over 65 years now just for a proof that Hitler had a final solution plan. They have not been able to find one document, not one document, that Hitler or any other top German in power said, kill all the Jews. Or even to gas the Jews. Or to carry out a final solution of the Jews. In fact, Hitler, there are many documents that they have found where Hitler was very, very grieved over these things. And he said, we don't want to look bad with the world's peoples. Do not do these evil things to Jews. This is why the camps at Auschwitz and the other were so big. Why they had so many barracks to maintain people. They didn't have any gassing facilities. Sergius Nilus was imprisoned, horribly tortured. The communist Jacobins didn't care at all for freedom of speech. And indeed, there are many people in America today who don't want freedom of speech. I mean, look at what I've told you. That in the Jewish Talmud, the Jews claim that Jesus Christ is eternally in hell, suffering the fate of being boiled in a fiery vat of male semen. That's a sickening thought. That's a disgusting thought about our Lord and Savior Jesus. These nice people, these Jews, now want to cover up their hateful Protocols of Zion agenda. Think about it. They don't make the Talmud available to you, do they? Go ask your pastor. Do you have a copy of the Talmud? Have you ever studied the Talmud? They'll say, well, no. There's probably nothing in there of value. There's a lot of stuff in value in the Talmud. It tells you all about the Jewish religion. And it's an incredible book. If you ask pastors, do you know anything about the Jewish Kabbalah? No. They've got to know. This is what our enemy is all about. The Apostle Paul said, for we are not ignorant concerning the devices of the devil. Well, American Christians are ignorant. You need to get books like Protocols of Zion. Please, $25. You need to get books like Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star that you can order from this ministry. You see, I have no doubt that Abe Foxman and Benjamin Netanyahu and the rabbis of this world would probably, I mean, I don't, you know, have any proof of it, but they would probably, like Tex Mars and anyone else audacious enough to publish the Protocols, be burned alive in oil. I mean, they've already said that Jesus is burnt, being burned right now in a vat of fiery semen. What more could they do to me than that? Well, I think if we don't understand the devil's plan, it's the devil's plan, not just a Jewish plan, but the devil's plan in the Protocols of Zion. If we don't know it now, we haven't learned from history, and we're doomed to repeat everything that occurred in Soviet Russia. We're doomed to repeat it. I pray that we won't repeat it. I pray that you and I will expose these things. This is why Tex Mars exposes the Protocols of Zion and other such things. I mean, I've got so many letters of testimony from people whose lives have changed from reading the Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. And they say, I never knew that the Jews believed in the serpent as God. I never realized that they believed that once this serpent comes up out of the abyss, he will take over the world and give the Jews domination of this planet. I didn't know these things. Well, that's why I wrote Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. That's why I published the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. I don't hate the Jews. I want to tell you the truth about the Jews. Not so that you will harm the Jews. No. Never. Never. So you will know the truth about the Jews. And you will be able to take actions in advance. Jesus told us the prophecies of the Bible, many of them. And he said, behold, I have told you in advance. And now today, Tex Mars has told you about the Protocols of Zion. Order this book. Read it. Keep it in your heart. And know about the things that will transpire in America over the next 20 to 50 years. This is Tex Mars, inviting you each week to tune in and discover the power of prophecy.